been a while since it happened, when I lost maps of directions of who I was before you pushed me in.
But I switched over to vocal lessons, and then, yeah, I started performing out in public almost, like, right away, like, whether it was recital or, like, singing at some Christmas event, or I started singing in Opry's fairly young, too, which is interesting because I initially started out doing country music when I was a kid.
That's Jillian Risco. I'm Jamie Green. And this is Trading Fours.
I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Trading Fours. We're just moving along, man. It's April, and it's getting to be late April, and it feels like spring in Kansas City. Everything's blooming. It's so nice to go outside, see some green, see some trees that have leaves on it, see some flowering plants. It feels nice in a lot of different ways. And I'm getting out to starting to see a little bit of live music. Got to see my buddy Blake Eberhard last week. Probably going to go out and see a couple different bands this upcoming weekend, so that's great. And I'm playing out, too, and that's great, too. So we've got Jillian Risco on today, and I'm going to talk all about her in a second. But before I do, got a sponsor for this episode. This episode is sponsored by my friends at Governor Stumpy's. Governor Stumpy's is a restaurant in Waldo, 321 East Gregory Boulevard. I have gone to Governor Stumpy's for 20 years now. So much so that I've told the owner, Kevin Ryan, he needs to rename the veggie burger the Jamie Green Burger. And he says he's doing it. I'm going to hold him to it. But he's the sponsor today. It's a great family-owned business. If you like the idea of Cheers where you walk in and everybody yells your name, this is your joint, man, because these people know your name, like, right off the bat. And Kevin wanted to sponsor this episode because he wants to let you know he's hiring. He needs people. He needs staff. World's opening up. He needs to get back up to full staff. So governorstumpies.com is the website. Check that out. It's in the show links. And if you need a job or know somebody who does, go up and apply. So thanks so much for Kevin and everybody at Governor Stumpy's for sponsoring it. Okay, on to Jillian Risco. Jillian Risco is a singer-songwriter who is based here in Kansas City. She has been very busy, has had done a lot of live shows. She gigs out a ton, and we're going to talk all about that. And she's also, you know, she's opened up for some pretty cool people over the years. And Pat Benatar, Rick Springfield, Lisa Loeb, Everclear, Tantric, and Stabbing Westward. So she joined me on a Zoom call. I'm hoping we're getting toward the end of Zoom calls, hoping we can start doing these in person. But we talked all about her career. We talked all about how do you navigate the world reopening and the world of COVID and feeling safe, but also, you know, making music, the thing that you love to do, and what her plans are going forward. So let's get started. Here's my conversation with Jillian Risco. I'm ready.
Cool. Yep. Ready.
So I asked pretty much everybody this because it's, and we just talked offline about how we tried to do this a year ago and then we had a, you know, global pandemic. How you doing?
I am doing good. I'm keeping really busy. So I'm like at that point where I'm like, okay, got to get some more organization down because I'm feeling like, woo, there's so much going on, but it's all positive stuff. Whereas last year it was like, woo, this is a little freaky what's going on for me as a musician. So yeah.
No, it's been crazy, right? I did see you guys played last when you and Imajo together, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, we did the Lost Cowgirl record song swap together. Jenna Ray hosted, and yeah, we were like, let's play a handful of shows together. I have new music out. Emma has new music coming out, and her and I have been playing shows off and on together since we were teenagers. That's how we met. Actually, was at a showcase for a coach that we were working with, like an artist coach that we were working with when she was 14 and I was 15. So
you guys are like the new Donnie and Marie Osmond of Kansas City.
Right. I'll have to tell her that I'm having dinner with her later. So she'll,
well, cause she's a little bit country and you're a little bit rock and roll, right?
Yeah. Right. It's so funny because like, when we did like a lot of shows together, she had more of like a rock band going on and I was playing kind of more of that stuff. And, I love all types of music. To me, I'm just like, if a song's a good song, it's a good song. And I'm in a cover band and I play acoustic shows. All my original music's more like pop rock based, but yeah, it's been like, she's doing like a country Americana thing. And then I have kind of my pop rock thing, but music is just like kind of, you know, it's universal and it translates to, you know, everyone in different ways. So, but yeah, it's interesting to see the different genres meshing together. And yeah, it's fun to harmonize and stuff. We actually like co-wrote a song that we came up with for the idea like years ago. And we're like, let's write this song. And then we have a title and then we never worked on it just because life. And we finally got back to it. We're like, hey, we are finishing this song. It's happening. And we co-wrote it and we played it for the first time the other night. It's called Lionheart. And we played it together and it went over really well. We're like, okay, we need to record this. Let's do it.
That's great. Well, real quick, and then we'll get back to playing live shows. You sent me two tracks. They're both they're really good.
Thank you.
They sound great. They sound great. I mean, the production value alone, man. Where'd you record it?
So I'm pretty sure. Did I send you? I know I sent you Breaking Point, correct?
Yep.
Did I send you People in the Real World?
Yep. Those are the two.
That's the new one. Yeah. So actually, all my latest songs, anything like post my rock band, all my new solo stuff has been with Matt Richards at Avenue Record Company. And he was a buddy of mine years back and we played some shows together and he has an awesome studio and he does awesome work as a producer and as a collaborator. So yeah, him and I have been teaming up and I'm hoping to get back in the studio at least by hopefully this summer, hopefully sooner. I have a handful of song ideas. It's just a matter of which one do I want to sit down and work with. But yeah, he's great.
No, it sounds great. They're really good.
Thank
and then, you know, obviously I always open up the podcast episode with one track and close it with the other. So I give people kind of an idea of what we're talking about. Right. Yeah, so they'll get to hear you a little bit. So let's back up a little bit. So you, obviously you're from here, correct?
Yes. Born
and raised.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the bug early, right? Like seven, right?
Yes, I was seven. I took piano lessons and then I told my mom and I think my coach noticed too that I was not into that, which is hilarious now because I use the piano, like I play the piano some and I use it kind of mainly for my song, like my main songwriting tool, like piano, synth, keyboard, whatever. But I switched over to vocal lessons and then, yeah, I started performing out in public almost like right away, like whether it was recital or like singing at some Christmas event, or I started singing in Opry's fairly young too, which is interesting because I initially started out doing country music when I was a kid. And then I switched over to different genres for a while, just trying to find my place and kind of stuck with the whole pop rock world, mainly. But like I said, I love all types of music and yeah.
So this tune Breaking Point, this is from, and I'm getting this from your website. This is not me, you know, making this
no,
up,
you're good.
But you know, it seems like it came from a pretty dark place. Do you want to talk about where it came from and how you use the creative process to kind of deal with it? Can you?
Yeah. So it's interesting. And Breaking Point has kind of an interesting story. One, it was the first single I released after being in a rock band for over 7 years. So I left that and I was also in a relationship with the main person in the band. We were like, it was our band. It was, you know, kind of a duo situation and we would like hire out members to play with us. But I left that band and left that relationship, which was a very tumultuous situation. It was very dark time in my life. Not a good place. And so I'm like, hey, my life is still worth living. So I'm going to continue on. I could still be a human being and I still have a lot to live for. And I still can do music without this person. For some reason, for a long time, I felt like I couldn't. It was a bad, bad situation. So I finally got out of that. Came out of that and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to start writing. I started writing and the first full song that I wrote was Breaking Point. And it actually came off of, it's funny because Emma kind of hopped me in this. We're in this group together. It's like an online songwriting group, but she does these challenges. She's like, okay, write a song with maybe like this word, or try to use this, or here's kind of the theme. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. And what I was writing pieces of, it happened to honestly like match up and really spark the creativity to just like finish the song. And I finished a song, and it was my first single. And it's just a song that talks about like, you're in a dark place and like how to find your way out of that and like find the light, whatever that looks like for you, whatever is like a positive path, or just like starting that path out, you know, because it's a journey. Like when you go through something really dark and traumatic for years and years of your life, to get back to a place, it can take a while, and it can take years of healing, you know what I mean? And thankfully music is therapeutic, and I have a lot of people that are very supportive in my life. So it's been a process, but it's, you know, things are just constantly, you know, I don't want to say like everything's perfect, everything's better, because that's not life. That would be toxic positivity for me to say that. You know, we all go through ups and downs, and it's just a journey. And I'm thankful to, you know, still be here and still, you know, have the opportunity to do what I love and I'm passionate about and what I've been working on my whole entire life. So, yeah.
No, totally get that. I think a lot of people find music to be a catharsis, right? Mm-hmm. That it's a cathartic experience to be able to, something that maybe you can't say to
Absolutely.
The person directly, that maybe you can put it in a creative way, but still be able to get the message across, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it.
Absolutely.
So tell me, when's this all coming out? When can people get to hear the whole thing?
So Breaking Point's been out. So you right. can hear Breaking Point. That was the first single I released. That's been out for probably a year and a half. And then I released Creatures of Habit, which was my second single, like as a solo artist again. I was a solo artist back in the day, and then I was in a band for many moons. But there's an acoustic version of that. And then my new single, People in the Real World, just released. And then I'm hoping, I would love, my goal is to not necessarily do an album. I haven't quite figured that out, because we're such in a place with music where it's like, release a single. But as an artist, I still like love and, you know, get excited about the artistry of like an EP or, you know, an album. That takes a lot of time and money and energy and creativity. And it's just, it's a lot as an independent artist, but I would love to put out an EP, and hopefully I can make that happen. For right now, I'm just working on getting songs out into the world. So yeah.
I totally get it. So you and I have not met in person, but I'm well aware of you. And one of the reasons why is because you gig a lot.
I do. So I love playing.
Yeah. So I see that. So, you know, everything got shifted online originally, and there was a KC Live music series, and you were on that a bunch. And then, So when did you decide like, okay, I feel comfortable enough gigging back in person again? And what was the calculus? What made you feel okay to do it?
So the first show, when everything shut down last year, you know, kind of around this time, honestly, it was very confusing to be in that place. First off, because it's like, okay, what can I do? What's in my power? That's like automatically what I went to. It's like, what is in my power? I'm not going to just stop. I had a conversation with a friend from Nashville, and I told her, I'm like, hey, it's really interesting. And I'm sure people needed or wanted or appreciated this break. But for me, just like completely taking a whole entire year off and not doing what I do was just like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's just, it doesn't feel right. And so kind of what happened is I was doing live streaming, which I have been doing live streams here and there. So that was like a great option. I'm like, okay, we have that. Awesome. Let's do more of that. Everybody's doing more of that. And then I got invited to it was kind of more like a benefit type concert. And it was all like socially distanced at a retirement community. My friend Mikey Needleman put it on, and he invited a bunch of musicians, and we all stood outside, and all the residents opened their windows. And this was like 2 months after everything shut down. But it was springtime, and it was just kind of like a really like cool connection, because it's like music is like one of the only things I felt like that was going to help us connect with one another in a really positive way.
Yeah.
Because it was a very, when everything initially shut down, it was, everyone was confused and hurt and like lost feeling, I feel like, for a long time. And then I had the opportunity, I started playing live shows again last May, but it was like the end of the month. And the only reason that this occurred was because all these shows were outside and I was able to socially distance. Everybody could have their space. We could all be apart. People could wear their masks when they need it. Like, so I was grateful to be able to do a really, honestly, like for what was going on, I was able to do a good handful of shows because we had the option, because thankfully, you know, we have weather to where we can do that. We don't live in the North Pole. So that was great. And then things got really slow in the fall and winter again, because of just how everything is and was. But yeah, people, honestly, James, are like, they're really eager. And I'm sure you're seeing this too. People are really eager to get out and have some sort of, you know, sense of normalcy again. People are getting their vaccines. Things are getting a little bit more, I feel like, in control in our country, which is really good, and throughout the world. So it's great that we have like the live stream options, because I want to continue doing that at least like, hey, at least once a month. Like the KC Online Live Music Series, they've been so good to me, and I've gained a community of people from that. And I think being in a digital world like we are, having that option is really important for people that, hey, I literally can't make it. I don't live here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have the options. So it's really cool to be able to mix kind of that new school thing with, you know, traditional stuff, because I love playing live shows. I feed off that. Like, I think, just love that.
Yeah, I think most musicians do.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially people that are writing and creating and all, you know, the reason why to me, this has been fascinating. It's been like a countrywide Rorschach test. It really is how people have responded to this. And I'll just give you a little example of what I've seen from my stuff.
Yeah.
So for the most part, most people have been very appreciative, and we kind of pivoted to, you know, I was playing at the Jacobson once a month. We were playing at Taps on Main once a month, and we kind of got into a groove, and the world shuts down, and we're like, well, what do we, kind of like you, like, what do you do? And we had never done a live stream, but you know, part of that's because we're older. So we do a couple live streams, and that's fine. And but I had somebody on Facebook give me the mad emoji, like, because, you know, people, like, when it first started, they didn't, I guess they weren't happy that, even though I was out on my back deck and my bandmates and I were probably, I don't know, 15, 20 feet apart from, like, that was not cool to them, whatever. And it's just interesting. So I just, you know, kind of like you, we pivoted, we've been doing, I call it the parking lot tour. That's the joke. I've been in more parking lots in the last year. Right.
Yeah.
And probably the last 50. And like you said, most people are very appreciative, and I don't even care. Like, I get it. Like, if you don't feel comfortable, don't come to the show. Like, if you don't feel I would never pressure anybody to do anything like that.
Right.
But I've had like this nasty, like somebody's, and you're trying to promote yourself, right? You're trying to, and I put a thing up on Twitter, like, hey, we're playing the show, and somebody, I don't know this person, I remember this person, and they were like, you're part of the problem.
Oh.
You know, and so I was wondering that, and one of the reasons why I was thinking about this before I talked to you, so like you said, you're friends with Emma Jo, and obviously she was a guest on recently, and I saw when she posted you guys were doing the show, it was like a pizza place, right? Where was it?
Yes, yeah, Old Shawnee Pizza in Lenexa, yep.
And so she like was like, I am fully vaccinated, and blah, blah, you know what I mean? And so it's like, it's just interesting, like, and we're gonna have to figure this out, right? As a culture.
Yep.
When do people feel comfortable? When do people feel, and part of it with rock and roll and live music, a lot of it, like, you're pretty cramped in together. You're pretty, people tend to yell and scream and do all those things. So it'll be interesting. I'm curious too, what you think about, like, how do we open up and how does it go?
Right. I have a lot of mixed feelings on this, because I understand people wanting to be safe. And I'm a germaphobe. So this is kind of, it's funny. I'm a germaphobe, but I'm also very extroverted. And it's like, my love language is touch. So I love to hug people. I love shaking hands. So this has been like, whoo, difficult not being able to do that, or people like not being reset. And I'm like, I totally understand. Like, you don't want to do that. Okay. That's fine. So I understand, like, I don't want to get sick. I thankfully haven't, I never got COVID, which is great. And you know, I'm halfway vaccinated at this point, but at some point in time, it's like, if we're doing what we're supposed to, like, we're wearing our masks. We've been wearing our masks. We're making sure we wash our hands because we should have been doing that anyway.
Yeah, it kind of grosses you out thinking about how many people never wash their hands.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, we should have been doing that anyway. And like, people are getting vaccinated and we have herd immunity and all that. I feel like there's going to come a point in time where there's going to be some people that might just stay in their house the rest of their life. Like they live in a bubble. And if that is what works for you, then that's what works for you. But as far as the rest of us as a whole, I'm hoping that's not the case, because humans, whether you are shy and introverted or extroverted like me, I feel like we need each other and we need socialization and we need live music and we need culture and we need to do things of that nature. Do you know what I mean?
So, oh, absolutely. You know,
we're getting back to it, and there's precautions. I know some states and some country, like just different places are, you know, like California, for example, they're so shut down still compared to like the Midwest. Like they are, it's like hardcore, like stuff is just like, you still aren't doing stuff and it might be a while longer. And it kind of is what it is. So it's a matter of just like taking those steps. And some places I feel like are going to be a little bit more lax and some places aren't, maybe for the safety of their own community. And that's fair. So it's like, do what's right for you, but we should not be necessarily judging people for wanting to get back to some sense of normalcy. It's one thing if like, hey, I'm being completely irresponsible. Like I have COVID and I'm going to go vacation. Like that's obviously not cool. Like, what are you doing? You are part of the problem. But for the people that aren't doing what they're supposed to and taking proper precautions, like, we're getting back and we are slowly getting back to things, you know, just being better. And I think that's okay. Like we all want that. I believe, you know, maybe some people don't, like I said, some people are going to be staying in their little bubble and that's them. And whatever works for you, you know, that's my two cents.
Yeah, no. And I totally agree that, you know, and so this podcast, I would say now 70% of these interviews have been done under the, you know, umbrella of COVID. And I've got so many, you know, it's just a hobby for me. Yeah. It'd be nice to have some spending cash that I used to have that I haven't really had, but you know, musicians are hurting. Like it's a lot of people, this is their only livelihood and they're trying to get back and they're trying to get, you know, they have bills to pay and do all, you have that component. And to your earlier point, what you said, and this is so true. And I try to point this out to people, being lonely, being isolated, that has a physical, that physically affects your health too. There's been studies on this, and I'm not talking like some schmo on a YouTube channel. I'm talking NIH, like real peer reviewed, the whole nine yard studies. And I worry people are so focused on this. I saw one lady yesterday and kind of what you said about like never leave, be in the bubble and leave your house again. So Morgan, I got to get off Twitter. I mean, I really do. But
hey, James, I have my volume all the way up. I'm having trouble hearing you all of a sudden. You got really quiet.
Can you hear me now?
No, it's very quiet.
Weird, because I'm showing I have a good mic level.
Hold on.
How about now? Any better? No? God, I love doing this online.
Right. I know. I like I said, I would rather
do this in person. Yeah. Oh, you muted yourself. There you go. Now can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Weird. So I was just saying, like, you know, I got to get off Twitter because so much of this is people, I'm just amazed by this. So this person, Morgan Freeman, said, oh, I'm fully vaccinated and I'm going to keep wearing a mask and socially distant, which is fine. Right. But this lady's like, I'm fully vaccinated. I'm still double masking. I'm never leaving my house. I'm going to social distance for the rest of my life. And it's like, nobody told you to do that. Like no one has said to do that. And so I just like, it's almost like PTSD. Some people have like PTSD from this, I think.
I think so, because I feel like our, just as a whole, not necessarily just the US, there's probably other places, we didn't know how to respond, because the last time our country, like our, just we went through anything like this was like over 100 years ago. So it's, and I feel like it was a lot of confusion. Like I said, when the quarantine started, like what's going on, and the response from people, you know, just in leadership or community leaders, I feel like there was just a lot of confusion. Like, what do we do with this? And it's like, we should always try to lean in. And I feel like there are, there were, and there are a lot of good people that were great about this. Like, as far as like mental health, like not even just our physical health, like the mental health aspect of it. That's something that maybe there should be more focus on, and there should be going forward, just to deal with this, because like you said, like PTSD and all of that, just processing it is,
no,
like,
it's, I think it's a serious component. I think it's going to be hard. You know, I don't know how old you were when 9/11 happened, but it reminds me of that, in the fact that it took people a really long time to be able to get on an airplane again and not like be creeped out and scared. Yeah. And I think it's going to be the same with this. Like, it's going to take people a long time to get to walk into a club, the Sprint Center or whatever, and see a rock and roll show or a country show or whatever, and just enjoy the show and not be like, oh my God, look at all these people and all the germs in the air. Like,
it's and that's heartbreaking to me, James, because it's like, I understand, but it's also heartbreaking because it's like something like music brings us together, and just like the experience of like one of my favorite movies, one of my top three movies is Almost Famous, and how they like describe music, like what that makes you feel, especially like as a musician, I know you can relate to this, or just as a music lover, like that magic that it brings. And part of it is having a shared experience of that magic with other people, and the fact that we're not really getting that as we should right now. It's crazy. And I hope that we can, like I said, we can get back to that sooner than later. And I think, you know, we are slowly making progress, and I'm seeing some show announcements and some tour announcements here and there for, you know, later in the summer and later in the year. And that makes my heart just like so happy. Like, it makes my heart so happy, because it's, there's just the biggest kind of magic that comes with live music and a concert, and just what that brings. So
So this is going to go out on April 18th.
Okay.
So let's talk about, so I'm looking at your calendar.
Yeah.
You're playing, let's talk about this Bar-K place. I have not been there yet. I have a dog, but I have not been there yet. So let's talk about this kind of, what's that gig like? Like, what's the vibe there?
Bar-K is cool. We play, typically I play like a lot of acoustic duo shows. And we'll play, my boyfriend plays percussion. He's an amazing drummer, and he'll play with me. And it's just a really fun, like laid back place. Sometimes like on the weekends, it gets like, if the weather's nice, it gets like so crazy with all the dogs, and like, it's awesome. So if you love live music and like good food, beer, and dogs, like go to Bar-K. Like, they have such a cool spot going on. Like, I love that place, and they're awesome.
No, that's great. So that, so this will air, this will actually go up on midnight that day. So people are hearing this the day it comes out. Go out and see you as you place.
Absolutely.
You got a bunch, and I'll put this in the show notes so everybody can see me playing out. So the only thing else is, it's funny. So you, Red Door Woodfire Grill up in Liberty, I'm doing an acoustic duo up there.
Really? Night. When are you playing?
Like 3 days after you, April 24th, April. So yeah.
Okay. I'll try to come to that, because that's, yeah, that's really close to my house.
Is it?
We're playing there Saturday, actually.
Yeah. My, my drummer lives up, or my drummer, my singer, who also, but when we do acoustic duo, he sits in a cajon, which for people that don't know, it's a South American instrument that you can make drum sounds out while you're sitting on it. And he sings lead, and I bring my guitar and I sing harmonies. And for that show, we do everything from 60s into 2000.
Nice.
It's not my rock and roll thing. So that's only 90s. So I appreciate that you're playing out. I think one of the things is that the reason why I do this podcast is I want people to support live music, because if we don't have people coming to shows, shows go away. I mean, the dirty secret that every musician knows, but probably people that don't play don't think about this, is people get hired to play shows to make the bar money, right? They don't get hired for the goodness of the bar owner's heart. It's the idea is, how do I get more people to come in here and drink more and eat more and make more money? So we need crowds is what I guess I'm getting to, correct?
Yes. Don't get your vaccination, wear your mask, like whatever you need to do. Like, things are opening up, and I was talking, it's interesting. I don't know if you've talked to anybody else about this. I've talked to a few friends about this, but I feel maybe I'm crazy that there is some sort of renaissance coming within the arts community and the music community. People are like, we have this time off, right? I just feel like there's a renaissance coming, and I don't know. I'm really excited for what the next few years are going to bring.
No, I think it's like the 1920s all over, you know, when they got through mm-hmm. the flu pandemic, and that's when it became the Roaring Twenties, because everybody couldn't. Well, first you had the First World War, and mm-hmm. then you got done with the First World War, and then you had a pandemic for another year and a half. So
absolutely. Oh, I meant to mention, James, too. I'm doing a handful of shows with my dear friend Camber from Nashville. We played some shows. Some safe and socially distant shows. They were all like outdoors and all that in Nashville and Kansas City later last year. But we're joining forces again in May and June and July for some shows. So we're playing in Fayetteville in May. It's a 3-date run. So we're doing Fayetteville, and then we'll be at the Rhino in Northtown the next night, and then we'll be at Unplugged in St. Joe. So I did want to mention that, because we're really excited to
and what kind of show is this, the two of you, what can people expect when they come to see this?
I play acoustic guitar, vocals, and Camber typically plays piano and vocals. It's like, it's really funny. I told her, she made a flyer for it, and I love the flyer, and I'm like, Camber, this flyer is moody and happy all in one. It's us. It's like, so us. Like, moody and happy.
There you go. You guys should do an album. You can call it that.
Yeah, right.
So yeah. If people hearing you for the first time, if they're not aware of you, and they hear this and they're like, wow, I'd like to know more, what's the best way to follow you? What are you, a Twitter person, you the website, are you a Facebook person, where are you the most active?
It's funny you say Twitter, because I was on there when it first kind of appeared on the internet, and I thought I was so clever, and I wrote some of the stuff. I look back, I'm like, what are you thinking this was funny for? But so I always joke, and I'm like, hey, I'm not on Twitter right now, maybe I should get back on Twitter. But I'm on Facebook quite frequently, and Instagram and TikTok. I'm kind of obsessed with TikTok. It's kind of a problem. And then I have some stuff on YouTube. I'm working on getting some more video content out here soon. And then my website, JillianRisco.com, and also iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to music. My original music's on there. So
that's very cool. Now my older son's a freshman in college. He's a TikTok fiend.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I'm obsessed. And I'm just like, okay, I need to, like, there needs to be an even split of me posting and me like scrolling and reacting to stuff. And right now it's a little, I'm like, unbalanced. So
no, he got so giddy because I didn't really pay attention, but it was like he had some ungodly amount of likes on TikTok for doing something that seemed kind of just silly to me, but I don't know. Yes. Maybe that's the deal. I don't know.
It happens. Yeah. Like all the time.
Well, it's nice to meet you. I'm glad you got your first vaccine. I'm glad I'm fully vaccinated. I will come out and see a show and say hello in person. We'll be back to normal sooner than later.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right, James. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
And it was straight through the heart. Is this what it's like to kiss so damn much? And then I feel it all. Well, they ask me what gives. I'm broken. Too many years of choking about realities. Swear that's on me. I won't give up that easily.
Jillian Risco, everybody. So great to finally get that scheduled. You know, we were talking about that about a year ago, actually 14 months ago, February of 2020. And we're like, hey, we're going to do that. And then, you know, the world decided to have a global pandemic. And so I'm glad we got it back on the books. Please check Jillian out. I've got all on the show notes. I tell you every time. It's true. I put those show notes for you guys to actually click and link and look at it. So go down and look at it. She gigs a ton. So she's gigging this whole week. I'm looking at her schedule. She's doing this today. If you're listening to this, this came out April 18th. She's at Bar K down on the river doing an acoustic duo show. She's doing Liberty Red Door Woodfire Grill on April 22nd. Manolatha and on and on and on. So there's no reason why you can't go out and support Jillian. When I always tell you to go out and support live music, here's your chance. And if you'd rather see me, which I can't imagine you would, I'm going to be with Matt Furman, my singer. We're doing a duo acoustic show at Red Door Woodfire Grill. I'll get it out. We're doing that here on the 24th. So that's it. Thanks so much to Jillian. Hey, next time, I've got David Barr, who is the lead singer of the Scottish group, the Moon Kids. They are known as Scotland's Next Big Thing by the Sunday Mail. He's going to join me. He's actually going to play a song for me and going to talk about how he had to sneak in the USA and got stuck in a hurricane in Mexico. So that's going to be real interesting. That's 1 week from today. Go and check that out. Until then, go out and support live music, and we'll talk real soon. Bye-bye.